Hi, and welcome to this demo podcast of the Orbit Reader 20. And during this demo, I'm probably going to wander around between calling it an Orbit Reader 20, an Orbit Reader. What I'm going to go through is what the Orbit Reader 20 is, what you get in the box, the functionality of the Orbit Reader from turning it on to downloading a Braille file to read from your computer, and finally also linking it up to an iPhone, in my case, to use it as a Bluetooth Braille display. The Orbit Reader 20 is quite a small 20 cell Braille display, and it has two modes, standalone mode and remote mode. And in standalone mode, you can use the Orbit Reader 20 as a reading Braille file or text file device. You can create your own notes. You can navigate the actual menu on the device. And of course, you can then also switch over to remote mode, which has two functions. You can actually use the Orbit Reader 20 as a refreshable Braille display to a Windows PC, Mac, iPhone, or Android device. Or you can put the Orbit Reader into mass storage mode, which makes it look like a USB stick or hard drive, an external one, to your Windows PC or Mac, which allows you to copy files over to the device. The Orbit Reader 20 also has up to a 32 gigabyte SD card in the back of it, and you could actually take that out of the Orbit Reader, put it in a card reader on your Windows computer or Mac, and then transfer the files, as in Braille files, BRF, BRL, or .txt files, onto that memory card, take it out, pop it back into the Orbit Reader, and off you go again in standalone mode to read and or edit those documents. So what you get in the box when you get the Orbit Reader 20, of course, you get the Orbit Reader 20 itself. Now, when I got mine was already in the carrying case, and when I got my unit as well, the SD card was already in the Orbit Reader. You get a micro USB cable, and they're little cables with the two little prongs on the end of the connector, plus a micro USB charger to plug into your wall socket for charging. And of course, that micro USB cable can also be used for data transfer from your PC, Windows or Mac, onto the Orbit Reader if you've got it in mass storage mode. And of course, you could also charge the Orbit Reader from your computer as well if you wanted to. With the carrying case, you also get a nice little carrying strap for the unit. And depending on when you listen to this demo, then there may also be a quick start guide. Let's move on to a physical description of the Orbit Reader. And I've currently got it sitting on the table in front of me. So as the unit's facing me, on the top face, and it's indented, is the 20 cell Braille display, and of course currently it's off, so it's all flat with the indent. And this will make more sense when I've turned the unit on, but every fifth cell, so 5, 10 and 15, is marked with a tactile dot. And then on the left and right hand side of the Braille display are two vertical rocker panning switches, and of course you press the top of it or the bottom of it on either side to pan left or right. Behind the actual Braille display, in the middle, just behind the Braille display, you have a long rectangular spacebar. And then directly to the left or right of the spacebar, on the left is dot 7 and on the right is dot 8. If I come directly behind the spacebar, I have what I tend to call a D-pad, others might call it a cursor cross with a select button in the middle, but literally it's round, and then you have raised up bars on the top, the bottom, the left and the right, and of course they're up, down, left and right arrows. And then in the middle you have, as I just said, a select button to perform an action, particularly when you're navigating the menus of the Orbit Reader 20, or indeed when you're accessing it on an iPhone, for example, with VoiceOver, the screen reader for the iPhone. And then towards the top edge of that D-pad or cursor cross, on the left and right, you actually have your Perkins style braille keys. So on the left hand side, going from the middle outwards, of course, we have dots 1, 2, and 3. And on the right, going out from the D-pad or the cursor across, we have dots 4, 5, and 6. Now the actual front edge of the orbit reader that's facing me and the left and right edges, there's actually nothing on those sides at all. On the back of the device, and remember it's still facing me, so I'm going from the left hand edge over to the right as I'm facing the unit. So I've put my hand over the back of the Orbit Reader 20. You'll actually feel that the back panel on the left hand side is indented with a few ports and buttons in it. So if I take my finger over and come down to the left in the little indented section, I've got a power button, little round power button. To the right of that, you'll actually feel the SD card poking out slightly. And then to the right of that is the micro USB cable port. And if I take mine out, I can just feel, and then you just heard the Orbit come alive and say charger disconnected because I just took the power out. So I can feel a little rectangular slot now where the micro USB cable was. And if I feel just below it, there's actually a little dot below it. And if I do the same with the SD card, I'm just going to pop it out now. Below the SD slot, I actually have two dots below the SD slot. So what they've done is they've put two dots on the SD slot and one dot below on the micro USB port, just for orientation and tactile purposes. All right, so I've taken the SD card out. I'm just going to put it back in again. And you heard the spring loaded as it clicked in. So basically, to get the SD card out, I'm just going to push it in slightly and then let it go. And it's now it's come out a little bit further out of the SD slot. I'm going to pull it out. And then if you feel the card, because I'm still facing the back of the machine, the SD card's now facing me and the teeth are on the bottom closest to me. And that's exactly the way that goes back into the SD slot. So I'm going to take it back and line it up with the SD slot with the teeth facing down, but closest to me on the card itself. So I'm going to put in the slot, I'm going to push it in, and I feel a little resistance till it clicks and I let it go. And now it stays into the slot. All right, so to put the power back in with the cable, the prongs have to be facing down. There's two little prongs on either side of the connector, and they're going to be facing down. And then you insert the connector of the micro USB cable into the actual micro USB charging port or data port as well. So I'm going to pop it in now, line it up with the slot, push it in. The braille display is going to wake up and say, charger connected. And by the way, that charging connected, even though the unit's off, it still comes up and it's very quick. It only lasts on the braille display for about a second. So if I take the cable out of the charging port, now it says charger disconnected and it's gone already. All right, so it's about a second. So let me do it one more time, plugging in the power. One Mississippi, two, yep. So basically a second, but you will get a notification that charge is connected or charge is disconnected. So you know you just haven't got it plugged into your PowerPoint and forgot to turn the power on. If I turn the actual Orbit Reader 20 over, so I've now got the keys and the braille display facing down, but the unit is still facing me with the ports at the back. And if you feel probably round about in the middle, slightly towards the back, and then coming over the right hand side a bit, you'll actually feel a thumb indent slot. And that's basically then the cover for the user changeable rechargeable battery. So if you find the little thumb indent slot and then just follow the case back on the same line towards the back of it, you'll find one screw. And then if you come forward past the thumb, came back towards the front of the machine and the other side of that door that's flush with the case, you'll find the second screw. So once you undo those two screws, you put your finger or your thumb or your nail, in my case here, into that slot and pull it up, and you'll be able to take the battery cover off, disconnect the battery and change the battery over. But you shouldn't have to do that for quite a significant length of time, but just know that you can actually change the mainstream battery. Okay, so I'm just going to pop it back over again, and now it's back in the same orientation plane that we started with the Perkins style keys at the back and the braille display at the front. Let's turn the unit on now. So I'm going to find that round power button at the back left-hand side of the Orbit Reader 20, and I'm going to hold it in for 2 seconds. One Mississippi, two Mississippi, and I'm going to release. Okay, and that noise you heard was the braille display refreshing from the left to the right, and it's actually come up in my case with the last document which I was reading, and if I read it in braille, it says Orbit Reader 20 user guide. Okay, and I was just using the right panning button at the bottom right hand side of that, on the right hand side, to go down 20 cells at a time while I was reading that. Of course, I wanted to go back up again. I'm going to press the right panning button up again, and I'm back to the beginning of the file. And of course, to turn the unit off, I'm going to hold that power button in for 2 seconds again. One Mississippi, two Mississippi, and we're off. Now, let me show you a really cool feature, particularly when you're reading a book or when you want to take notes with the Orbit Reader 20. So I'm going to turn it on again. One Mississippi, two Mississippi. Okay, and I've released the button, and that noise again was the braille display refreshing, and that's come up with the Orbit Reader 20 at the beginning of the document. Now, this is a really cool tip that I love to use all the time. If I just press the power button now, just once, press, the braille display has gone off, but it's in standby mode, which means when I want to take a note or start reading again, I can just press the power button once. And it doesn't need to do a full refresh of the braille display. That noise you heard was just coming up with the first line that I'm currently sitting on of the braille file, or doesn't matter where you are in the document. And again, it says Orbit Reader 20, but it didn't have to go through a full startup. So it basically goes from sleep mode into full awakeness. Now, just one further tip about that standby mode or sleep mode coming awake and going to sleep again. It's only going to work if you're in the standalone mode of the Orbit Reader. So when you first turn it on, the way to switch between standalone mode and remote mode is to hold down the select key in the middle and then press the right cursor key to go into remote mode, i.e. use it as a braille display or mass storage device, or press select and the left arrow to come from remote mode to standby mode to use the Orbit Reader 20 as a standalone braille reader or note taker. So if I do this now with my one, I'm going to press select and right arrow. So at the moment mine says mass storage mode, because I've actually been previously using this before as a mass storage device to my Windows PC here. And then if I press select and left arrow, I've gone straight back to my Orbit Reader 20 user guide. We're just reading down 20 cells at a time then. To access the Orbit Reader 20 menu, either in standalone or remote mode, you hold down the select key, and at the same time press the up arrow key. So I'm going to hold down select in the middle of that D-pad or cursor across and press up arrow. Okay, and now I've brought up the actual menu of the Orbit Reader 20. So they're pretty well straightforward. I'm not going to explain each one of these because they're pretty self-explanatory. There's a very good user guide online. So if you search on the web for Orbit Reader 20 online user guide, you'll pretty well much find it the first time you do a search. So the first thing we have on this menu here is charging, and it says 100%. And the 100%, by the way, is in computer braille. All right. So I'm going to press my down arrow key to go through the menu, and you can cycle through this menu with up all the down arrows on that D-pad or cursor pad. So pressing down arrow, cursor blink, which is cursor blink rate. Now if I press my right arrow, we're going to go from 1 second, 5 seconds, 15 seconds, 30 seconds, 60 seconds, zero, and back to one. So that's basically how fast the cursor blinks on dots 7 and 8, being an 8-dot braille display. Pressing down again, we've got sort, and then we've got name ascending. If I press the right arrow, date, size, last as in last used, name ascending, name descending, name, date, etc. So it's going round and round. If I press the left arrow, I'd go back and reverse through those sorting options. So remember, for the ones that have got multiple selections, you can press left or right to cycle between the ones on the current item, or up and down to move between items in the menu. And of course, when you want to select one of these, you would press the select key in the middle. So I'm going to press down, and we've got split words, and that's currently off in default mode. If I press the right arrow key, we've got split words on. If I press select, I've just turned it on. All right, but I want to turn it off, so I'm going to press left arrow. It says split words now off as selection. Press select, and I've turned split words off. Filter.7 on, and if I press the right arrow, we've got off. Right arrow again, we cycle back to on. And of course, I can press the select key on each one of those to actually activate it. And by the way, anytime you want to come out of the menu, so you can just press .7, like I've just done now, and I've gone back to my document. Or if I was in remote mode, I'd go back to the remote mode option, whether it's mass storage or connected up to my iPhone, etc. All right, so I'm going to back into the menu with select and up arrow. And I've gone back to the top charging, so I'm going to press down arrow. Okay, and I've just moved past filter, and now we're on wrapping on. If I press right arrow, I've got wrapping off, right arrow again, back to wrapping on. Compressed spaces is currently on, and again, we've got left or right to cycle between off and on. Load languages, switch language, then we've got an option encoding. Now, keep in mind some of these that you don't need to worry about, so I'm going to leave some of these alone without any explanation. Version, of course, the version of the unit you're currently running, which is really good for when you're calling up for support. Serial. Reset default. So if I press select on that now, we reset the unit back to factory defaults. And we've got USB, and then we've got HID as in human interface device. If I press right or left arrow, press left arrow for a change. We've got serial. Mass storage, which has previously happened when I pressed select and right to go into remote mode. And back to HID, human interface device. And of course, that's what you leave it on, particularly when you're talking via Bluetooth to your iPhone, for example. So I press the right arrow, okay, we're gonna go through the same thing, going through HID, mass storage, serial, and back to HID, human interface device. Pressing down, we've got Bluetooth auto, which I leave it on, because I press right arrow, we've got Bluetooth auto, right arrow, manual, off, and back to auto again. All right, so I tend to leave it on auto mode. Pressing down, then we've got pair as in pairing, and it says just works, and it actually does just work. Press right arrow, we've got confirm code, right arrow again, and we're back to just works, and I always leave it on just works. Again, that's the default setting. Emulation is currently off because the Orbit Ready 20 can actually emulate a, I'm pressing right arrow, refresher braille, RB18, and that's what it says in the braille display, RB18. If I press the right arrow, I'm back to off, and that's currently selected. If I wanted to press the emulation mode for RB18, then I would press select on where it says it on the braille display. So pressing down again, mode, standalone mode, and if I press right arrow, we've got Bluetooth, USB, and standalone. Pressing down arrow again, and I'm back up to the top of the menu. It's cycled around back to the top of the menu, which is charging 100%. If I press the up arrow key on that cursor across the D-pad, I'm back down the bottom of the menu to mode. So pressing down, and I've gone back to the top of the menu. Now to come out of the menu, I said you just press .7. And there we are, I'm back at the document I was reading, which is the Orbit Reader 20 User Guide. Let me go into remote mode. I'm gonna press select on the D-pad across and right arrow. I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to press select and up arrow, and there's my menu. Charging, 100%, cursor blink, etc., etc. So I'm pressing .7 to come out of there. Comes back to mass storage mode, because that's what I've currently got the system in. I'm pressing select and left arrow, and I'm back into the braille file for the user manual. Now, as far as charging the unit's concerned, it probably takes about 4 hours to charge it fully. And I find really on and off use, because I'm mainly using it for a bit of note taking on my iPhone and some reading of braille documents, I usually at least get about a week out of actually using the unit. So it's actually very effective as far as battery conservation and usage is concerned. We're currently sitting here in a document. Now I want to get to the other files on my SD card, and we're going to get to copying files across in a minute. I'm just going to press .7 to come back out of that actual document I'm in. And now I've gone to the list of, in my case, BRF files on the SD card. So the first one, of course, is Orbit Reader 20, because that's the one I was actually currently in. So I press the up arrow. I've got NDIS notes, because I was making some notes from my NDIS review. Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone, 1984 BRF file, and another little file that I called 00scratch.txt. So it's always at the top of the menu because I've got them in ascending order anyway. So I'm pressing down arrow now, and we've got 1984, Harry Potter, NGIS, Orbit Reader, and that's it. So if I wanted to get into any one of these, let me just go back up to Harry Potter, and I'm going to press select. And I'm in Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone. Okay, and if I wanted to get back out of it, I'm just going to press .7, and I'm back to Harry Potter and Philosopher's Stone on the file list, pressing down, come down to NDIS notes. Now, when you're on a file name, you can press left or right to get more information about the actual file itself. So if I press right arrow, I've got POS, as in position, that said 92. I've got size, and this particular file is 1.2 megabytes. I've got date, and it gives me the date. I've got unprotected, and then I'm back to the name of the file, NDIS notes, pressing right arrow, and I'm back to position and so on. When you're in this file list, so if I, again, just press up arrow, and I'm on 00scratchpad.txt, that's what I named it. If you want to rename a file, it's actually spacebar R to rename a file. And if you want to create a new file, it's actually spacebar and N. So if I'm going to do spacebar N now, I'm now in a blank document. There's no name, no nothing. So I'm just going to bail in, this is a test. And of course, I'm going to press .8 for new line. I'm going to put, this is the end of this file. New line. Okay, so I'm going to press up arrow. This is the end of this file. Pressing up again. This is a test. Okay. Now, when the unit actually saves the file, it's going to take the first line of the document you just made by default, and that's what's going to call the file. And of course, you can go back into the file list and rename it with the space R command if you want to. Because I've created and editing a file, we do have a edit menu now. So rather than pressing select up arrow for the main Orbit Reader 20 menu, if I just press select, I've now got an actual, if you like, file editing menu. So I've got exit, mark, as in mark beginning and end of stuff you might want to cut, copy or paste, copy, paste, cut, find, which is quite handy, save, and I'm back around to exit. And of course, if I press the up arrow, I would actually go around the opposite way through that menu up and down. So I'm going to save this one. So I'm just going to press down till I get to save, and I press select. And I've saved the document, but I'm still actually in the document. So if I come down to the bottom of the file, I can do my name is David. Whoops, and I just put a U rather than a V. So I'm just going to press .7 to delete D-I-V, or actually U. Do V-I-D. That's better. All right, so I want to save the file. So I'm just going to press select in the middle. Now, exit, of course, will actually exit without saving. So if I really did really, really, really bad things to the file, like delete everything, I could just exit without saving. Rather than pressing down to go down to the bottom to save, I'm just going to press up arrow, cycle around. There, save, pressing select. Okay, so now to exit the file, I'm going to press select again and then choose exit, which was at the top, and I just press select. So I've exited the file in editing mode. So I'm back in the file, if you like, in read-only mode now. Because if I try and type, it's not going to put anything to the file because I'm not in any particular mode. Now, if you wanted to start editing that same file again, you would do space plus E for edit, and then you could type into the file, and then when you finished editing, you would then go and press select, choose save. And then remember that you just press save, you're still in editing mode. So if you want to come out of editing mode, you would then press select for the actual menu and then choose exit, and that'll put you in read only mode. So just in case it's not completely obvious, when you do space end for a new file, you're in editing mode straight away. When you want to edit an existing file you're working on or any other file that you want to edit, go into the file from the file list and then do space plus E for edit, And you'll know you're editing because you actually get the dots 7 and 8 flashing on the brow display. And when you press select, of course, you can do exit to not save your changes or save to save your changes. If you've saved your changes and then you want to go back into read-only mode, you would then press select again, choose exit, and then you're fine to stop editing. And the other thing that I didn't mention when I was writing in the brow file, .8 is your new line key. And of course, up and down arrows take you up and down a line. Left and right arrow keys on the D-pad or cursor cross takes you the previous and next character. And of course, you can use your left and right top and bottom part of your panning keys as well. And I've just pressed .7 to go back to the file list. And now I've got a file that's called This Is The Test. If I press up arrow, there's Orbit Reader 20 User Manual. There's NDIS notes and so on. So come back down and there's This Is A Test. And if I want to get rid of that file, of course, I can press spacebar and D. And on the brow display, it says confirm action. And I'm going to press .8 to get rid of it. And now it's actually now displaying the next file, which, or the previous file in this case, which is the Orbit Reader 20. I'm still on the file list. So I go into the file, I'm just going to press select. And I'm back in the Orbit Reader 20 user manual. Let me press .7. Now you can create folders and copy files into folders and that sort of really cool stuff as well. Plus cut, copy and paste when you're in an actual document with the markup via that editing menu that I showed you before. For this demo, I'm not going to go into that for the moment though. Now, but I will tell you how to protect a file. Now, in reality, I really want to protect that Orbit Reader 20 user guide because I don't want to have to actually put it on the SD card again. So I'm going to press space and P. And now it says file protected on the brow display. So I press right arrow. We've got POS 4, size 109 kilobytes, date. And now it says protected. So I'm just going to press select and I'll come straight back into the file. Now, as I said in the beginning, there's two ways of copying from a Windows computer or a Mac onto the Orbit Reader. You can either put the reader in mass storage mode or you can take out the SD card out of the Orbit Reader at the back, pop it into a card reader, and then plug that into your Windows computer or Mac. Copy files to the root directory or into a folder if you've got folders. Remember that they can only take .brf or .txt files. Copy them on, take the SD card out or eject it if you've got an external card reader device, and then pop it back in, and then you can access the files on the SD card on the Orbit Reader itself. Let's just do the PC method first. So let me take the charging cable out. And yes, I did have it plugged into my Surface Pro here. That's why you heard the beep noise for charging. I'm going to flick over to remote mode. And remember, that's select and right arrow. Mass storage mode. That's where I had it originally when I was using the machine before I started doing the recording. All right, now I'm going to plug this cable back in. So rather than just charging now, it's going to come as a mass storage device. So I'm just going to plug it in. Okay, and you heard my Surface go off. Now I've got a few things plugged in here. So I'm an old DOS Windows user from back when, and particularly of the old DOS days. So I'm going to do Windows R for run.
Run dialog.
As the Windows key plus R. And I'm going to do, I think I'm on F drive. So I'm going to do F colon F. Enter.
USB drive, F tab list item, tab 1 of 1, items view list, table items view, has 13 rows, 4 columns, .bkp file story.
Okay, so as you can tell, I'm on the drive now, and it called it a USB drive. So I'm going to press down arrow.
.bkp recent history, select .fl, .fl 01740,
now, just ignore all these
files. .fl as, .fl, .fl, .log file, 00 scratch.txt, selected on
tooltip, okay, scratch file. Text.
1984.brf. Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone.
Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone.
This notes selected on tooltip type.
So on and so on. Okay, so for example, let's say I downloaded Harry Potter and the Cursed Child from the iAccess Vision Australia Library Service. So it's ended up in my C drive, the main drive on my Surface Pro here, of course, in the downloads folder. And I wanted to copy it over to the Orbit Reader because I've got it, funny enough, plugged in via the cable going to my USB port. So I'm going to do run.
Run
dot C colon C backslash enter. And I want to get to my user folder.
Items view list US. Users selected.
Enter.
Items view list, table items view, has two rows, and four columns,
type DA. In David, jump down David. To David, enter.
Items view list,
and I want to get to my downloads files. I'm typing DAWN for downloads, download. Enter again.
Items view list, table and items view, has six rows, in. Four columns,
AAR.
Harry Potter and the Curse of Child.bf. 4, 6.
Okay, and of course, I'm going to press Control C to copy.
C.
And then I'm going to do run again. Windows run dialog, on, type in F colon, enter.
USB drive, F tab list.
Control V.
V. Copying one item from download. USB drive, F tab list item, tab 1 of 1, items view.
Just type in Harry.
A. Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone.
Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone. Let me press that arrow.
Harry Potter and the Cursed Child.
There we go.
Selected on tool
tip. All right, now of course, being a good Windows user, I'm going to do Windows B for my system tray.
B. Notification chevron button. Tooltip. Show hidden icons.
Select notifications.
Notification overflow.
And go
overflow
across
notification.
To
Zoom. Not safely remove hardware and eject media.
Remove hardware.
Button. Bluetooth battery meter. Pain. Open devices
then
and eject Orbit Reader 20
and
USB
eject
device.
Orbit Reader.
Battery meter. Pain.
Beautiful. Okay, so now I'm actually back to my mic. Sorry about that faintness. All right, so now I'm going to go back to my local folder and come out of storage mode. So I'm going to press select and left arrow. Okay, and I'm going to press dot 7 to go back to my file list. And let's have a look. I'm going to press up arrow. There's my NDIS notes. There's my Harry Potter. And there's my Harry Potter and the Cursed Child file. All right, so that's one way of actually doing it. Let me just quickly show you the other way. I'm not going to copy a file again. I'm just going to go and take out the SD card and put it in my SD card reader on my Surface Pro here. So before I do anything, I'm actually going to turn the unit off. So I'm going to hold in the power button at the back left-hand side. One Mississippi, two Mississippi. Okay, it's gone through its refresh on the braille display, across and back again. I'm now going to reach around to the back of the actual Orbit Braille reader, press the SD card in and out, so it pops out. Take it out, grab my card reader, and stick it in. Okay, so you heard that. All right, let's have a guess and see if it's still the F drive. So I'm going to do Windows R.
Run dialog, F,
colon, F. Enter.
Location is not available dialog.
Oh, okay. All right, let's try
Run
D, colon,
B. Items view list, table items view, has 13 rows, 4 columns, .bkp file story, non-selected.
Let me go down.
.log file, 00 scratch.txt, selected.
Okay, so if I jump in, so that's the first one, my 0 scratch file, if I type in H.
Harry Potter and the Cursed Child.
And there we go. Okay.
Selected on.
All right, now because my little USB external card reader is an external one, I'm going to go and do Windows B again.
Taskbar pane, notification chevron.
Select notifications.
Show hidden. Notification
go
over,
across.
Overflow. Zoom. Safely remove hardware and
safely
battery
remove
meter.
Hardware.
Pane. Context. Menu. Open devices and USB 2.0 CRW. Menu item disabled. Eject USB drive. D. Menu item.
Okay. So eject USB drive.
Battery meter. Pane.
Wait for the sound.
Closing tab.
Beautiful. Now I can take the card out safely. Put it back, slide it back in with the teeth facing down and towards me into the back of the Orbit reader, into the slot. Push it all the way in so it clicks. Release it, and now it's in. Now I can turn the Orbit reader back on again. One Mississippi, two Mississippi with the power button on back on the left-hand side. Okay, and I'm back in the file list again. Finally, let me put this into a remote mode to pair it up to my iPhone here and use it as a braille display. So I'm going to press select and up arrow. And I'm going to press up arrow. And we've got mode, standalone mode, mode BT, which is what I wanted in. So I'm going to press select. So it says remote Bluetooth. And I lock my phone.
9:48 a.m. Mail. 5 unread emails.
And use Siri to open voiceover settings.
Let's take a look at the voiceover settings.
Settings.
And
accessibility.
I'm going to flip down to Braille.
Voiceover. Voiceover speak. Tap once to select. Double tap to act. Swipe three fingers to voiceover practice. Speaking rate. Speaking rate. Speech. Verbosity. Braille. Button.
There's Braille. Double tap on Braille.
Voiceover. Back button.
And flick through.
Braille. Output. Input. Braille screen input. Status cells. Equations used. Show on screen. Turn pages when. Word wrap. Braille code. Alert display direct. Choose a Braille. Searching. Dimmed. Searching. Dimmed. Orbit reader. 2017
Double tap on that.
Orbit reader 2017 pairing.
And it says pairing. When I've got it on, just works.
Selected. Orbit reader 2017 connected.
Okay,
button.
And you heard it connect through the sound of VoiceOver, and you also heard the braille display go off, and it's now connected. So it's gone from remote HID, and now it just says Orbit Reader 20 because it's actually coming straight off my iPhone. So if I press up arrow,
in progress, choose a braille display.
I'm now reading.
Alert display duration.
Back
on
by item.
Braille code English unified button
on my iPhone. If I press panning down,
alert display duration 3S button. Choose a braille display. In progress. Selected. Orbit reader 2017 connected.
Okay, and of course, to get back to the actions home available screen, I'm going to press space and H recall command.
Mail. 5 unread emails. Double tap to open.
Now, this is where the Orbit Reader really shines, because now if I press select and left arrow, I'm back on my file list. So I'm currently landed on NDIS notes. So let me just press up arrow to get back to my 00 scratch.txt file. Pressing select. Okay, so I'm now in that document. And now, if I press select and right arrow, I can now
calendar, Wednesday, the photos.
Use my iPhone. Now, if you're actually using the Orbit Reader 20 and you want to lock the keyboard, you can just hold down dot 7 and 8 down for 2 seconds. Now, on the braille display, it says key locks. So if I now press the keys on the keyboard, nothing's happening, which is really, really cool. And press dot 7 and 8 again. Now it says keys unlocked. So now if I do spacebar and dots 123, which is at the top of the item on the iPhone.
Mail. 5 unread emails.
Go and
double tap to open.
4, 5,
actions
and
available. Dot. Music.
Down the bottom.
Double tap to open. Actions available.
Now, if you want to do some basic navigating and voiceover on the iPhone, left and right arrow to move item by item. To activate an item, you press select in the middle on that D-pad or cursor pad. To jump to the top and the bottom of the screen, you can do space 1, 2, 3 and space 4, 5 and 6 for top and bottom respectively. Home function, spacebar H or spacebar dots 1, 2 and 5. So that'll complete this demo for the moment. I hope I've given you enough information in this demo to get you up and running. So that's me signing off for the moment. As always, thanks for listening for this demo, and it's David Woodbridge saying goodbye for now.